everybody. Welcome to the Rush Hour on this lovely, lovely Tuesday. I've got the lovely team around me. I've got Emma G. Hello to you.
Hello, Jazz.
Lovely Emma G. I've got Gregory Blewett. Welcome to you.
Hello, Jazz. This weather is phenomenal. He's smelling it,
I can smell it on the 13th floor.
Mm.
And Bernie Vince, hello to you, young man.
That does smell nice.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, good weather. G'day, Jazz.
Down the beach, families, school will be finishing soon, so go and have a swim. The ocean's nice and clear
school's
and clean.
Finished.
Yeah, I reckon school's already finished.
4 o'clock.
Oh, I did say that. Well, there's
You'll
some schools.
Finishing soon. Mm,
anyway. Yeah. Hey, how was your night? Day.
Are you okay?
Day-nighter.
Day
we played a day-nighter.
I'm a bit tired.
Yeah, what's happened?
I've had a busy day.
How's your day been, Jazz? Because something's happened to you, I think.
Nah, tired.
Well, training last night?
Maz and I were trying to fix up our electric gate. Trying to reprogram the remotes.
Oh, dear.
And it's not going well.
No.
Oh, boy. You have someone coming to fix that last week and they pulled out?
No, don't go there.
He's not.
Don't go there.
That was a good family
but
friend
of yours. A dear friend of mine. He did fix it up. Great man, Rennie. But anyway.
So you got a bit testy today, did you?
The patience. Maz is so calm. But I'm learning. I'm learning to be calm.
When are you going to learn that? It's getting to sort of the latter stages of your life.
Now, Greg.
Yes.
Greg, the Reserve Bank have done it again. What the hell has happened?
Are we clapping?
Up another quarter of a percent. Yeah. So we're not clapping that. It's gone up to 3.35% now is the official cash rate. So, yeah, people are going to start feeling this. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to get Scott Phillips on to talk about all things finance and give us the inside intel into that. Scott hosts the Good Oil podcast. You can get that on the Listener app. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Yes.
Yeah, it's the highest level since 2012, apparently. Ninth consecutive rise.
Families are hurting.
Yeah. How many years ago was that, Charles?
That's a while, Bert.
Yeah. That's 11. Aaron Finch also has hung up. What do you hang up? Your cricket bat?
Your boots.
Oh, it's boots.
Spikes. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, see, it's
or your
different.
Bat. Not your cap.
No, your baggy.
Maybe your gloves.
Your box.
Or your box or your thigh pad.
Hang up your inner thigh pad. Okay, well, Aaron Finch has hung up his inner thigh pad and his box. And hopefully he hasn't got it over his face.
Jock strap.
Now, there's
you are different, you cricketers. We got him on, by the way.
After 5 o'clock.
After five.
But exclusively.
Yes.
With Greg Blewett. He's going one-on-one. He's taking him to the cage, Jazz.
What about Bert and I?
Well, he just requested me. Mm. He said, the other buffoons can just sit out of this one.
He did not say buffoon.
He didn't say buffoon.
No way.
Well, I couldn't say the other word.
I was going to ask him, when I was living in Melbourne, I used to see him go to this cafe near my house, go out the back, dart up. Now I'm not going to be able to ask that.
I was
going to
ask him, any chance of making some runs for your country when you played in test matches?
Well, not now. All right, I'll pretend I'm you guys and I'll ask your questions, all right?
He's giving up the darts while you're part of Australia.
And congratulations to our very own Bruce McAvaney, Channel 7. He's been inducted as a life member of the Australian Rules Football Fraternity. What a marvellous. Yep. There was about, eight of them got in? Inducted as life members.
Eddie McGuire. Trent Cotchin.
Paddy Ryder. So congratulations. But we'll catch up with the great man tomorrow, Bruce McAvaney. So congratulations.
What
hasn't he done? What hasn't he done?
He hasn't
played final footy and ride
He hasn't played top-level sport.
Yeah. Well, he did in his day. He played for Woodville back in the day.
What, A grade?
Under 17s, I'm led to
believe. Yeah, but that's not
little
top
rover.
Level, is it?
Oh, yeah, right. Brucey did, yeah.
Okay. And ask him about that. What sort of player would he have been?
He was a little rover.
But surely hung on the outside a bit. It was sort of Greg Blewett style.
I knew you were going there. I knew that.
Chief Economist Scotty Phillips joins us on the Rush Hour. Good afternoon, Scott, and thanks for your time.
Good afternoon, guys. Sorry to be here on a bad news day, but that's the way these things go.
Scotty, they've done it again. Tell us the hell has happened if people haven't heard regarding the increase.
Yeah, let's get the bad news out of the way. So interest rates are increasing by 0.25% or 25 basis points, as the boffins like to say when they want to sound smart. The official cash rate now 3.35%. It's going to add about $100 to the average mortgage. Depends, of course, on how big your mortgage is and how far through it you are. But, there's no sugarcoating this one. Inflation is out of control and the RBA pretty much just says, look, got no other choice. We've got to put rates up. We've got to dampen inflation however we need to get there. The only tool they've got is rates, and so that's what they've done.
Hey, Scotty, you mentioned inflation is out of control. Can you explain to me as a simple human, what is inflation? Why is it so high? And what's it measured on? Because a lot of people can't answer that for me.
That is such a great question, right? So inflation is just the fancy word. Again, the economy, everyone in a trade loves to use their own terms, right? Sounds smart. Inflation is just prices going up. Let's just call it that. And prices are going up faster than they have for probably 3 or 4 decades. Yeah. So over the last year, prices are up 7.8%. That means something cost $100 a year ago now costs $108. Yeah. Now, we all know wages aren't going up that fast. So high inflation means we can afford less stuff. If it keeps going up, imagine 3 or 4 years of this. Imagine 4 years' time, 8% a year. All of a sudden, you need $133 to buy something you bought for $100 today. Wages aren't going to go up that fast. So what that means is you're buying less stuff. You're simply saying, right, well, I can't afford to put fuel in the car, food on the table, and do whatever else you're going to do. So you simply have to say, well, I'm going to do less of it. So that lowers our standard of living. It means we are poorer overall, frankly. Mm. And so the RBA looks around and says, well, that's not a sustainable situation, particularly for people on fixed incomes or people on low incomes who just simply don't have the ability to absorb that kind of stuff. And so they say prices are out of control. We need to stop this happening. And their effectively only tool, if you're the Reserve Bank, is interest rates.
Right. Mm. So by raising interest rates, they presume everyone's homeowners, do they?
Yeah, well, this is absolutely the problem, right? So let's talk about why you increase rates. You increase rates, that means you've got to pay the bank more money for your mortgage, and that means it's money you can't spend somewhere else. Now, if you remember your high school economics, when you have too much demand, so you've got too much demand on the same amount of supply, right? There's 100 widgets to go around.
Yep.
If everyone wants them, everyone's got $1 squillion to spend, the price is going to go through the roof. It's effectively an auction.
Yep.
If you take some of that money away, that auction simply means you end up with a lower price. Now, price-wise, it says, well, if I buy fewer of those things, then they're going to be less of them, less demand for them, less competition, and the price increases should slow down. That's what they're hoping.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, and you're asked the right question about everyone owning a home. It's a brutally unfair system. Now, I'm not going to say unfair in terms of, let's not get generational fights on here, but the reality is only a third of us have a mortgage. So when they put rates up, who pays? Well, the third of us with a mortgage pay. A third of us own our own homes, a third of us rent. Now, those older homeowners probably have savings, right? So they're maybe even getting more money. Some people are better off because of rates going up.
Yeah.
Mortgage owners or mortgage payers have to bear the brunt of the whole thing. Plus, by the way, small businesses and others who have loans. So that's what happens. Now, here's the thing. The RBA has no other choice. All they have is rates. So they either say, well, guys, either we have higher inflation or higher rates, and they make a choice every month to say, which of those is more preferable. They've decided, I think they're right, that inflation is far, far worse over the long term than short-term higher rates. Even though those higher rates are painful, everyone thinks, oh, look, I'd rather rates not go up, thanks very much, which we think now because this month it hurts. Mm. But as I said before, if you wait 2, 3, 4 years, you look back and go, oh, gee, I wish I'd done something then. I wish I had that small amount of pain so I could get away from this problem rather than having years and years and years of ongoing pain through higher prices.
Yeah, very well explained.
Scotty, are you across what's happening in the United States of America? Because we often follow the trend of what's happening over there. What's going on with them?
So their rates are actually higher than ours right now, believe it or not, their official cash rate. And so here's the thing, it's a global problem, right? Inflation is a global issue right now, and it needs a global solution. That's simply the reality. So for whatever reason, there's lots and lots of reasons. Think about supply chains out of COVID. Think about the amount of money spent during COVID. In fact, we had record low rates, war in Ukraine. All these things have combined in a really horrible perfect storm to put up prices right around the world. So the Yanks are having exactly the same problem we're having, and they're solving it the same way. Part of it is global, and some people will say, well, what's the RBA doing? These are global problems. Why is the RBA putting our rates up here? And the answer is they're not going to be able to affect the fuel price or the price of wheat or coal. What they can do is say, hey, we need to make sure this doesn't become endemic in the economy. In other words, fuel goes up, so the truckie puts his prices up, so the cost of delivering fruit and veg to the supermarket goes up, so the person who buys their product from the supermarket puts their prices up, and around it goes. That's what the RBA is trying to do, is break that link between global inflation and the ongoing domestic inflation caused by that in the first place.
Scotty, what are your short-term and long-term predictions of both inflation and the flow-on of rates, rest of 2023 and beyond?
So, look, I don't do predictions, guys. Most economists have to do predictions. I'm lucky I don't have to do them because no one knows.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we do know. Economists were saying before today somewhere between 0 and 5 interest rate rises this year. Now, that range tells you exactly everything about how much or how little we know.
Yep.
No one knows what happens next. This is unusual. We haven't had this sort of inflation for 40 years.
Yeah.
It's probable, I think. So the RBA, let's start with the RBA. They said today there'll be more increases. They used increases plural. Yep. So we can assume at least two more is their expectation, probably more. If I was a betting man, not a prediction, but just an outright bet, if I look at the probabilities, I reckon probably another three is about the par score. Doesn't mean it can't be higher or lower, but if I think about it, they said increases, so I was saying at least two, so let's start there. I find it hard to believe you get from 7.8% inflation down to something more meaningful without at least probably three. Three, I said three is probably a par score. Two, if things stop really quickly, maybe things slow down fast because people finally stop spending and maybe things get under control. If we don't, four and five is definitely on the agenda.
Yeah. Just a quick one, Scotty, and we really appreciate your time. What's some tips out there for the families that are going to find it really hard to pay their mortgages? What can you advise them?
All right. So let's go to the most important one first. If you realise you're in financial dire straits, the deep doo-doo, go to see a financial counsellor today, tomorrow. Do it literally right away. Don't pretend it's not happening. Don't stick your head in the sand. There are some great not-for-profit counsellors who will give you fantastic advice for free or for a very, very low cost with no, you know, they're not getting kickbacks from anybody. You go and see them and say, here's my problem. They will do everything they can to help you, including renegotiating your loans, doing everything they can to get you out of trouble or tell you what you need to get yourself out of trouble. So that's for those people who are looking down the barrel and going, this gets ugly. Please, please, please do it first. If you wait for the bank manager to call you, then you're in more trouble than Superman because you're going to have very limited options. So do it soon, do it early. The only other thing I can say is just look at the usual household costs, right? Change banks at a better rate. Change phone companies. Change electricity companies. Do everything you can. Look at your subscriptions. All the usual household budgeting, boring stuff. Mm. Try and free up as much cash as you can because things are going to get worse before they get better,
Scotty, thank you very much for your time, mate. That was sensational, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners took a lot out of that. So thanks again for joining us on The Rush Hour.
Nah, good questions. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Stay cool with an Automasters aircon service. Call 1300 Automasters. 60 seconds on the clock. $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 minute.
And I thank Carl from Automasters, right? Good friends of ours, been very supportive of this much love segment, which is global.
Yep.
All right. As you know, people want to try and get $1,000, and we are keen to give away $1,000,
which we have already this year.
Once. Mm. Luke from Manopara joins us. Good afternoon, Luke.
G'day, how are we, guys?
Oh, Luke. Luke. We are ready to give away $1,000 now. Who's your AFL side, young man?
The Mighty Crows.
We'll burn.
Okay.
Green. Mm. Loves his Crows.
Will they play finals this year? 4 years without finals?
Oh, I hope so. I think we'll be pushing down the bottom of the eight, if anything, but optimistic. So let's say yes.
Right. Bit of pressure on Nixie in the paper today.
Yes, it is too, Boone. Page, just three full pages of Nixie.
Actually, we got Nixie here. What do you think about the pressure, Nixie?
Just going to try and just best foot forward.
just one training session at a time.
Now, Luke, what do you do for a job?
Sorry, we're doing the quiz.
I work in civil construction.
Wallow. Burn.
Ooh. Why do you always say, hello, burn?
What's it because got to do that's with your burn? DNA. You're renovating. You're in the real estate market. Greg, you've already built your four-story bloody mansion.
Five.
Now, Luke, 10 questions, 60 seconds. Say pass if you don't know. All right, buddy. 60 seconds.
You don't try to, but you can't help it.
No, I've missed it. And we'll take your first answer, all right, Luke?
No worries.
All right, buddy. Well done, mate. Listen carefully. Team, are we ready to go?
Yep.
Let's play.
Which English Premier League club is facing expulsion?
Oh, pass.
What Australian cricketer today announced their retirement from international cricket?
Aaron Finch.
Who was the infamous sports scientist at Essendon in 2012?
Pass.
How many points does a free throw score in basketball?
One.
Bethany Hamilton is best known for competing professionally in which sport?
Surfing.
How many AFL grand finals did the iconic Bruce McAvaney commentate? 10, 15 or 20?
20.
True or false? Bernie Vince has been headhunted to appear on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
False.
What sport do the New York Giants play?
Baseball.
In tennis, what surface is the French Open played on?
AFA.
How many AFL clubs did Paddy Ryder play for?
Three.
In English Premier League, club is facing expulsion.
Oh. Which club?
Which English Premier League club is facing expulsion?
Poor guy, can't even get the question out.
Got no idea.
Okay.
Nottingham Forest.
It's a bit like Greg asking that question. No idea.
Just trying to hurry up.
Sorry,
and get
Luke.
It in.
Yeah, we just
I forgot
some,
which.
We just had some issues. you had problem on. Round one with that question.
Come on.
Facing.
Yeah. Hey, let it go. Let it go.
You said Sheesian yesterday.
Yeah.
How many G?
For every stuff up of you guys asking a question, we should add 5 seconds for the person.
Well, hang on. Oh. No, that's not going to happen.
Well, Luke, it'll be a 10-minute quiz.
We'll check the scoreboard. Scoreboard, please, G. G.
G.
Finding the button.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Correct.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Good effort.
Considering we butchered
you
the question.
You slaughtered the questions.
Great effort, Luke. You did very well. We're going to give you a double pass to go to the Fringe to see Amos Gill, Adelaide's favourite comedy son.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right, mate. Well
thanks
done.
For having me.
Yep.
Good on you, Luke.
Best, mate.
Can we just get Greg to read the question one again?
Because, you read it.
Because he's buggered it up twice.
No, you read it.
No, I haven't.
Go on, number one.
The first time you said facing and then in which
you read,
club or shit.
You read number one.
Which Premier League club is facing expulsion from the league?
Greg, why couldn't you say
see,
that?
See, that doesn't make sense. Which Premier League? So I had to add English.
Mm.
Oh. No, that's...
Well, what do you mean, though? There's no other Premier Leagues around the world?
Maybe poorly written.
Yeah,
well, maybe you don't start it with in when it says which.
Well, Greg, number one?
Well, that's the Manchester City.
Okay. Number
naughty.
Number three, please, Greg.
Infamous sports scientist at Essendon is Stephen Dank.
And number eight, please, Byrne.
Number eight is the New York Giants. They are in the NFL, American football.
Mm. Well done.
Yeah, we got on our board. Mystery guest is up next. So there's been a few threats being thrown around to our producer about if it's so-and-so, we're not coming on. If it's this, we're not going on. So let's go cut straight to the chase and see who it is. Welcome, mystery guest.
G'day, Rush Hour, the family. It's Rocky. I'm back.
Oh, Jazz. He's walking out.
It's Rocky. It's Rocky, Jazz.
Jazz is gone.
Come back, Jazz.
No, it's not really Jazz. That was a setup. Jazz, come back. We've got someone else on the line. Who is that mystery guest?
Oh, g'day, Byrne. G'day, Blue.
Who's that?
Is that?
Wayne Phillips, legend.
Wayne Phillips.
Oh, Flipper.
Flipper.
Hey, guys.
Are you feeling okay, Flip?
I'm wobbly, yeah, not 100%, but yeah.
Oh, well, hang on. You're becoming a drama queen. This has got to stop. I saw your brother today at the shops. He's embarrassed the way you're carrying on.
No, Andrew, is that you, Andrew?
Yes, it's me, Wayne. Yes, Skipper.
Did you hit me in the head at golf yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Right.
Yeah, so run us through the incident.
Oh, well, it's an Ambrose. Andrew hit a ball, and he's such a smart player. It was so sunny, the conditions. I mean, very sun smart. He just hits it into the friggin' trees the whole time, and you're playing in the shade. It's just a very, very good play. But he hit a shot, which was a stinker. I went down to place my ball to hit it. So that we can find one in the fairway. And he had a practice swing with his eyes closed and clunked me in the bloody melon.
So just to reset, you had the Liquor Industries Golf Day yesterday, which
correct.
you four played together.
Yes.
You have for a very long time. Have you, and you're a very good golfer yourself, played golf for a long time.
Oh, hang on. What did you say? He's a very good golfer.
Well, that's what he told me the other day.
Yep.
Have you ever seen anything like it? Have you seen any contact whatsoever on a tee block, let alone a strike to the head?
Hang on.
No, not at all. And not of a teammate. I mean, yeah, if it's an opponent, all right, you can probably, under the royal and ancient rules of golf, okay, maybe. But it's your teammate, you hope. But yeah. And look, and I'm being serious, boys. Andrew's golf has improved 100%.
Really? What?
Yeah. We hit two good shots this year.
Instead of one.
He came in saying how well he played.
She said I was really improving.
Well, you did, 100%.
Flipper, was there an apology after the strike to the noggin?
Oh, if you call holding your guts rolling on the ground laughing an apology, yes, there was.
Did you seek any medical assistance?
Not there, because I had to make. Oh, I then had to hit my approach shot and hold the putt for birdie, and then try and go, and then dial for assistance from there.
Stop it. Hey, now, Flipper, Jars, this is 100% accurate, came in and said the other two, Les Burdett, Greg Oddie, the other two guys in your team, absolutely useless. And he said yourself and Jars had to hold the group together. Is this true?
He said you'd be proud of me, boys.
No, because neither Greg Oddie nor Les Burdett hit me in the head with their club.
So you've had a concussion test done today?
Yes, I'm ready to go. Come in now, doctor. Yeah, okay, got to go, guys.
I'm sorry, mate.
So hang on, you backtracked a little bit on how well you went. Yeah, you came in chest out.
I did.
Saying you should have seen, man, Flipper, we carried
him. Yeah, you are. We held him together.
That's not true.
Flipper, is that true or not?
No.
Now, just before you go, hang on. Tell us what you got on your golf balls. What have you written on your golf balls?
I don't write it on there. The manufacturers put it on there.
What
when
is
you've
it?
Achieved something. Oh, they put 159 for some reason. I don't know.
What's that number?
It must mean that I hit off at 1 minute to two. I don't know what relevance that is.
You're a star, mate.
Flipper, thanks for coming on, mate. We apologise on behalf of Andrew.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Deep down.
He assures us that it wasn't on purpose, I'm not so sure.
It was an accident. And I felt really bad. I nearly knocked out our captain.
Flip, you didn't go back three holes and look on the tee block for a tee that he left behind this year, did you?
No, he's really... No, that was last year. He's really moved on. I don't know what's happened, whether he's got a sponsorship deal for him or whatever. But no, he hadn't even looked for him. So, yeah. Great to chat with you, Ben. Great to chat with you, Blue.
Yeah.
See you, Flip.
Let's welcome the 5 o'clock hour, family. We've got plenty to get through. We had a good first hour. We caught up with Scott Phillips.
Yes.
He's a chief economist regarding the interest rates, which have gone up once again. Gave us some great advice too.
He did.
Didn't he? So you can listen to him on our listener app too, G.
That's right. If you missed that chat, he did. He made it simple for us.
Thank you very much.
Now, family, young Luke from Manopara had an experience he'll never, ever forget. He played the quiz with us. And our very own Greg Blewett didn't put his teeth in. Here is a question he gave. Oh, question number one.
Well, we weren't going to do it in that order, but that's okay. You go, mate. It's all good.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's all right. Just go with it.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, here's Greg trying to give question number one to Luke from Manopara. And Greg, have a good listen to yourself.
Which English Premier League club is facing expulsion? English Premier League club is facing expulsion.
Which club?
Which English Premier League club is facing expulsion?
Poor guy, can't even get the question out.
He still couldn't
Poor
get
Luke.
It. We read
well,
it
he
out
lost five
times.
Seconds. Well, you've got to get the questions out there, mate.
Okay.
No wonder he got the question
he
wrong.
He did. He passed out.
Anyway, that stuffed up our order, so...
Are we going back to
interest rates, are we?
Maybe we do both English Premier League.
You've got to get
together.
Off your phone, Jars, in the break when we're discussing what we're doing
next.
No,
I'm putting fires out.
Your screen time yesterday was 5.5 hours or something.
No,
that's too much, and we need you to stop between
breaks.
Don't
talk over each other. What do you want?
Okay,
you're miming.
The whole point of replaying that was because we want to know the answer to that question because something's happened.
Yes.
So,
Manchester City could be expelled from the Premier League after they were charged with more than 100 alleged breaches of financial rules, Jars.
But that wasn't the order we were going in.
Oh, my God, stop.
We had Nat Fyfe. Anyway.
No, I'm not doing the rest.
Anyway,
I'm not doing
Nat Fyfe's given up the captaincy. If you're still with us, if we've got those last three people listening to us still, keep us on because there's more better stuff coming, hopefully, in the next hour. Nat Fyfe isn't going to be captain. Jars?
Good decision.
and good right call. And he made the call himself.
Absolutely.
So Who knows? Might happen here.
Locally. Well, you reckon? They're still saying 2 more weeks before they make a decision.
2 weeks?
Yeah, before they announce the Crows captain for this year. I think Slaney needs to just listen to what Nat Fife's done.
Okay.
Just my opinion.
Okay, you need to listen too. Mm-hmm. Between the breaks.
So, you know, they say don't work with animals and don't work with jars.
And what else? That's the funniest thing you've said for a long time.
Is that right?
Hey, what was question number one again?
Facing.
Yeah. Which English Premier League club is facing expulsion?
Don't play any of your stuff up, G.
She just re-records them.
Wipes them out pretty quick, smart, don't you, G?
Next, Aaron Finch on Triple M's Rush Hour, chatting with Greg Blewett.
No comment.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Beautiful stroke from Aaron Finch. Nice from the skipper. 151 off just 60 balls for Aaron Finch. Quite extraordinary.
Now, take a bow, Aaron Finch. That is one of the better knocks you'll ever see, if not the best, in T20. It's the highest score, and the quality has just been quite breathtaking.
Please welcome the breathtaking Aaron Finch.
Yes, Aaron Finch joins us on the Rush Hour, of course, announced his retirement today. Finchie, congratulations. Now, that 156 off 63, that was me bloody commentating on it back in 2013. What a memory that must have been.
Yeah, I like how you put yourself in all the promos. Well done. That's pumping up your own tyres, aren't you? But on a serious note, that was unbelievable. I think that was the first time in my career that I actually believed that I could play international cricket and compete with the best. So that memory will always hold a really special place for me.
Is that something that you've spoken to younger guys coming into international cricket about, Finchie? It's often just a little moment that, you know, bang, you think, okay, well, I'm good enough to play at this level for a long time.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of times, and no doubt in all sport, and you would have been there as well, no matter what level you step up to, you try and bluff yourself like you're ready at times, I think. And that's not until you actually either have a match-winning knock or match-winning innings, or you contribute heavily to a win, that you actually, in your heart, you believe that you're good enough to compete and be able to play with the best in the world consistently. So, yeah, it's something that it's not easy to do. And until you do it, a lot of it is a bit of smoke and mirrors on yourself, isn't it?
Well, you didn't look back after that, Finchie. 103 T20 matches, 3,120 runs, high score of 172. So you went past that 156. Average 34.28. This is what I love. Strike rate 142.53. 200s, 1950s. When you hear those stats, you must be proud of yourself, mate.
Yeah, I am. And I guess while you're still playing, you don't often take enough time to sit back and reflect and probably appreciate what you've been able to do, because your mind is always moving forward on what's next and how you plan and prepare for your next opposition or your next game. And over the last month or so, throughout the Big Bash, I've had a little bit more time to be able to sit down and probably appreciate some of the great things that have happened to me in my career, and some of the great friendships I've made, and matches and innings. And it's all really special, and I've loved every bit of it. I mean, there's highs and lows that go with it in terms of your own performance or the team's performance, but just it's unbelievable to sit back and reflect on.
What about white ball cricket, Finchie? It's all about the World Cups, and you've been lucky enough to play in the 2015 50-over World Cup, but more recently the 2021 T20 World Cup victory. And I heard you say today that's probably the highlight of your career.
Yeah, well, both of them are huge highlights for different reasons. I think the 2015 one, there was so much pressure and expectation. I think we were dominating most oppositions in one-day cricket in the lead-up to that. So it was the expectation that we turn up and win in our own conditions was really high. And to be able to do that was special. But then the 2021 World Cup was totally different, because there was not a huge amount of expectation. All the experts had written us off saying that we were no chance to win. So that was special for that reason. How everyone banded together, we trained hard, we played well, we had a bit of luck along the way, but we also enjoyed the tournament for what it was. We enjoyed each other's company. We were in a COVID bubble, so we were sitting around having a couple of beers, playing golf, and that was amazing in itself.
Who's the biggest influence on your career, Finchy?
Oh, there's been a couple, no doubt. Andrew McDonald, someone who I've known since I was 16 when we toured the UK together. He's someone who's been right there my whole career. And often when things aren't going your way, you turn back to people who you really trust with your game. And for him to be able to see it from that age right through to the end, he was one person I could always go to, and he's helped me out a huge amount. Greg Shipphead at Victoria, the master, everyone calls him the master for a reason. He probably saw a little bit in me before I developed and had a chance to do it consistently, but he took a chance and gave me some extra opportunities when I probably didn't need them, when I probably didn't deserve them. And Darren Lehman's probably another one, I guess, who there's times in your career when things aren't going well and you just get one extra game for some reason. I was the kind of player that got one extra game when other guys get the axe a little bit too quick, and things sort of snowball on from there and you get some runs and it takes off. So it's funny how the game works, and I'm grateful for a lot of people throughout my career. But those guys in a Victorian and in Australian environment have helped me a huge amount.
What does life look like after cricket, Finchy? You've done a little bit of work in media, coaching, you're a businessman. Where's life going to take you?
Well, initially it's going to be some commentary stuff in the ODIs in India and a little bit of IPL. I'll still try and play the odd T20 tournament if teams will have me around the world. But, just enjoying a bit more home time. And we've got Esther at home, who's 17 months, who's growing every day, and she's hilarious. So just watching her grow up a bit more and being a present husband, I guess, is my job for the near future.
Yeah, how good is that going to be? Spend a bit more time with the family. Hey, who, before I let you go, who's the biggest pain in the ass that you've had in your side?
Oh.
Too many to mention?
No, there's not too many to mention because all the boys are great, but there's three in particular who, on the field, Glenn Maxwell and Marnus Labuschagne are the worst. Maxie and I used to have a blow up every two overs at each other. Because he's always right, and so am I. So that would never end well. But you walk off the field and it's like nothing happened. Marnus is someone who used to cop a little bit of my frustration because he used to just drift off in the field. After the first 10 overs of a one-day game, he goes out to the boundary and drifts off, and he's looking in the crowd. And when you're trying to move a player 4 or 5 metres subtly because the plans have changed with the bowler, that would be my absolute biggest frustration. So he would cop it in that regard. And just an all-round pest, David Warner. You've been in the change rooms, Bluey. He winds everybody up, including myself. But we've been great mates for a long time. And there's no one who I would call if I got in trouble before him because he knows everybody. He's got a direct line everywhere he goes. But absolutely a pest with the best of them.
And never shuts up. So
never.
Hey, Finchy, congratulations, mate, on an unbelievable career. You've been an absolute superstar. You've led the side very, very well. You're very popular. Look forward to playing a bit of golf with you down the track.
Absolutely. I'm playing in the Vic Pro-Am tomorrow, actually. Ooh. So that's a nice way to start retirement, I guess, is straight into a pro-am with a few cameras around. So I'll be nervous for that.
Absolutely. Well, play well tomorrow, Finchy, but well done, mate, and congratulations on a great career.
Thanks very much, Bluey.
There you go. Aaron Finch for the Rush Hour.
Greg, we're so proud of you. That was a great chat with Aaron Finch.
Oh, thanks, mate.
No, wasn't it, Bern?
He's a good lad.
Shoved outside.
Yeah.
He's a good lad.
One-on-one. Yeah. Well done. That was good.
Despite what you've said about him, especially over the last 12 months, you've been riding him.
Okay. But he was good.
No, so he's a good man, Finchy.
You whacked a saddle on him for most of the summer.
Yeah. And anyway, I did. Yeah. I put my hand up. Yeah. Yes, I did, Greg.
You drove him out of the game.
I'm burned.
So now I've forced.
You drove the Australian captain to retirement.
Because my criticism.
Thanks very much.
But he couldn't make a run.
I can't believe you didn't ask him that. Should have just hit him between the eyes with it.
If you miss Bluey's chat with Aaron Finch, you can catch up on the Listener app, his only interview on Triple M.
Yes. How do you spell that?
Listener?
Yes.
L-I-S-T-N-R.
Oh, you thought you were going to catch her out.
For the purposes of the app. Yeah.
He always thinks the only one he's going to catch out is himself.
I say it 100 times a day.
I was driving this morning and must have mixed up the stations because it was on Triple M. It was a breakfast show. I hadn't turned it over yet.
Jesus, did you?
So I must have, Harvey must accidentally bump the button and I was on there. And, well, nothing too inspirational, but Ferg was on there.
Ferg was on there. And
was it a 10-minute segment?
Well, I did drop Harvey, Liv, went for a feed, came back, still going.
Flew to Melbourne
and
back.
I think I got the guts of the what he was trying to pop out in the well, the 45 minutes he was on. Anyway, here's a little bit. It was about, well, catching someone out.
Yeah, it's from their room and meal segment.
SA Media Identity slipped into an office building over the festive season.
Mm. Yeah.
Instead of going and doing their own printing at their own home, come into an office building so because they were too tight to do it at their own place. Now, this person is known throughout the industry as being a bit of a tight ass.
Mm, righto. So they're just teasing it.
A media identity. Yep. They don't say who, but and that's when Ferg came in.
Yes, Ferg did come in. We had to really cut this down, but here's just a little bit of what Ferg had to say.
I didn't listen to all this.
We've got a caller on the line that might be able to give us a little bit more information. Callum Ferguson from Dead Set Legends. G'day, Ferg.
G'day, Root. Dits, Loz.
G'day, mate.
Great to be joining you. Thanks for having me.
So, well, you've got a bit of info, have you?
I have, and it's damning. As you know, Triple M rocks cricket every summer, and once again this summer we're calling the cricket, and I had a BBL game with Channel 7 during one day of Test cricket, so I was back calling the game from the Adelaide studio. So it's unusual for us to be in and around, you know, sort of Christmas, New Year's, the studios. Yeah. So,
very unusual.
No doubt the individual who is in the spotlight here wasn't expecting to run into anyone.
Right.
Well, I just happened to be in the boardroom calling the cricket.
Yeah.
And, I watched a rather dishevelled looking individual walk through the door.
Was he a bit plumpish, this bloke?
Oh, yeah, just a little. Looked like Christmas had got a good hold of him. And look, it's... it won't surprise anyone here, I don't think, but this individual, and I will name names, is Darren's brother, Andrew.
What?
There
you go.
So he's throwing me under the bus first.
Yeah.
This is interesting. So, yeah, I did see him.
You did see him?
Yeah.
So that's true?
Oh, absolutely. I came in to get my laptop. That's all I
have. No, he said
all I had.
You access the printer and
yes.
I think he goes on a little bit
does
more
he?
To
is there more?
I think he might have got a little head count on the pages, Charles.
So what was he printing off, do you know?
Well, I wasn't 100% sure. He wasn't too keen on actually divulging, but you know, during one of my breaks I sort of wandered out to grab a glass of water and walked past the printer and he was over there, you know, just getting his business done, and a couple of bits of paper fell onto the ground and it was the Andrew Jarman Special Cockle Divers Playbook for 2024.
Is this the coaching manual for the year coming up for Port Nyanga?
So what was it, 2 pages or...?
Oh, Charles. No, what are you doing?
No, I printed some stuff off.
Yes.
For our show. That's all
no,
I
did it on a Saturday.
Yes.
No.
We're back at work on the Monday.
What are you doing?
Mate, it's only 8 cents a page.
Yeah, but that adds up when you do 2,000. Honestly, how many times have you printed something off that's for work?
Fair bit.
No. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all footy and midfield setups and backline setups, kickouts,
stoppages, structures, kick-ins.
And stuff that even laminate stuff they put up in the change rooms when they're playing away because it's not on the wall.
So you've driven all the way in on your holidays from Henley Beach.
It was on
the
Saturday.
Yeah, that's holiday.
We're back on work on Monday.
Yeah, thinking that I was going to be here.
No, I didn't give a stuff. I thought the DSL boys were here. So, but then I got here, Ferg was sitting there on his own, right, drinking the alcohol in the fridge.
Because
he had no, that was at 10:30
in the morning,
BBL.
Trying to loosen up a bit.
Well, he had no idea what was going on. Poor love. But yeah, true. And then Roo has the audacity to say, oh, in the industry, he's regarded as the tightest ass bloke in the old. No, he's not. Me. Roo's the tightest bloke I've ever met.
Yes, he is.
Deep pockets.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is he?
Yeah. And you know how he says he shouts your beer? You know when you go, then I'll shout your beer.
Yeah.
The brewery give him a free keg every week.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they do.
He's got all those.
So he's regarded as the biggest tight ass, not only in Wakeree, but the country.
Yeah, but
so
he...
So don't go there, Roo, and you know I'm not a tight ass, you blokes.
He's mentioned you being plump a lot lately.
Yes.
Oh. Overweight and
does
plump.
Does he now? Here.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Leave, no, leave it on. No, leave it on. Put it back on.
You wait, Fern, you knob.
What was that?
He's showing his... McKees, not the plums.
Jesus, talking about muffin top.
Elmac Cleaning Services. Get clean behind the scene. Specialist in all industrial and commercial cleaning requirements. Call 1-800-4-ELMAC.
Here comes Bernie Fat. Interesting. Here comes Bernie Fat.
This is unbelievable.
Incredible.
It's time now for Bernie Vince's Final Facts.
All right, buddy, what have we got?
Can you bring me?
Oh,
I've
been
better.
A pile on a meal day today, so I'm yeah.
Oh, you're
easy. No, I'm not going to say
you're
anything.
F. What was starting with?
You've had a good day with the quiz,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah,
old chompers.
All right. All right. Anyway, I'll teach you something. February 7 today. My beautiful mother Serena's birthday.
Oh,
and thanks
birthday.
For reminding me, Juz.
Yeah,
I told you to remind me.
I
and you didn't.
Apologise.
That was a test, and well, I knew you were going to fail.
He's apologising a lot, isn't he?
He's apologising and plagiarising and all that sort of stuff.
She's done a terrific job with her kids and her beautiful husband, Farmer Tim.
Well said, Juz.
Well, he's a great man. You know I love you, Dad.
Mm.
He's inspirational.
Yeah, because he keeps...
No, he is.
Is that because he just keeps beating
No, I don't
golf
care.
Course?
He's
no.
just a strong man and a bloody inspiration.
Yeah.
So. Oh, happy birthday.
1978, a birthday. I'm going to make you guess who this is, but the movie this is as well.
Dude, you got a tattoo. So did you, dude.
Dumb and Dumber.
No.
May as well be.
Oh. Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet.
What about mine? Dude, what does mine say?
Dude, where's my car?
Yes. Yes.
And what what's the main
dude,
actor in that?
What does mine say? Sweet. What about mine? Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet. Keep going.
What
no, it's
mine?
Not,
dude,
not
what does mine say?
No.
Sweet.
No. He's a little fella.
No, he's not a little fella.
Fetter.
I used to have a picture of him on my diary at school in year 10. I cut out a picture of a magazine from him and stuck on the front.
Ashton?
Oh, he's married.
Agar? No, not Agar, not the off spinner.
Ashton Kutcher.
Couldn't cut him out back in the day because he's probably still going to school. But yeah, dude, where's my car? Very funny. 1940. This is also a movie, very famous movie, and it's about a certain something we do. Something grows. It was released by Walt Disney on this day, 1940. There's been a few remakes of it.
Sound of Music?
No. Something happens when he does something, Juz. Maybe when he tells a little porky. Something
porky
grows.
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Yes.
And Porky's like, Porky Pig. No, I wasn't giving part of the movie away. And maybe a Porky. A lie, I meant. He maybe lies and something grows. I love how your brain works. Oh,
do you really?
I'd love to get in there one day. There'd be plenty of room
it's not
for all of us.
It's not pleasant.
Stop. This day. No, it's not pleasant in there.
No.
At least there's room for everyone.
You're entertaining.
Make way for the mice on trivia.
It's already coming out.
Greg reckons there's a heap of mice in there on those treadmills.
It's already booked out.
The ones where like the water flicks
there's
out.
No room. I can't put any more people in there.
How do you feed them?
Oh,
jeez, we've gone a touch off track here.
I reckon that'll do us.
1985 on this day, which is my birth year, actually.
Oh,
this became the official anthem of New York City. Name the singer.
It's up to Frank Sinatra.
Oh, well done.
Beautiful song,
isn't it?
Sing it.
New York.
Oh, it's a bit off.
Can't get those words wrong, Juz. Oh, Porky! Hey, on this day, 2005, Ellen MacArthur became the first or the fastest person to sail solo around the world.
Ooh.
71 days, 14 hours, 18 minutes.
That's pretty scary.
So it must have been a reasonable size.
Well, you'd have to. I didn't read how big the boat was, but you'd want a reasonable size and maybe have some E-perbs on there too in case you went down. Mm. On this day, 2009, a sad day. Black Saturday was on this day. 2009, 173 people lost their lives. Mm. That is a lot, isn't it, in a fire?
Yep.
They can move quick and be very dangerous.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, finish off on this day, 2004. I'm going to make you guess it, but it's going to be very quick because you should know it. But this particular song or this single topped a poll from music fans as the greatest rock anthem of all time. First one to get in. Go, G.
Sing it. Queen, We Will Rock You, Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
Brilliant.
The number one greatest rock anthem of all time.
Is that right?
I miss Freddie.
Because
he was a great entertainer.
No, he had extra
and the
teeth,
world needs more entertainers. Pardon?
He had extra teeth.
Yeah, and he never changed his teeth. No, he didn't.
What, Chompers?
He's not Mark Soderstrom.
That's enough.
Hey, family.
See
you tomorrow.
Just how many teeth are you meant to have as part of my fun facts?
260.
How many do you have? 261. Triple M's Rush Hour.